Amen. To Pastors Carpenter and to all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we greet you tonight in a name that is above every name, a name that the Bible declares one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, even the name of Jesus the Christ. It is an honor and a privilege to be here to share again with this congregation and with my friends and with the permission of co-pastor. She still lets me hang out with her husband, and so I'm grateful, because you all know she has a discerning spirit, and she also doesn't move quickly. So for the first 2 years, she used to just look at me, and almost like, I don't know about you. And I'd say, hey, how you doing? She'd say, I'm all right. And then after about 2 years, we started getting along. Now, that's one of my good friends. But I bless God for your pastor. I bless God for Pastor Carpenter. I bless God for his friendship. Bless God for this ministry. I bless God for the work that we do together in Center City. And I do mean together because it has been a blessing. Amen. In fact, one of the first times I had to leave and he taught, I felt, as we say in Philadelphia, some kind of way the next week when I got back, because everybody was so excited about how well he teaches. They said, Reverend, you can go away anytime. I said, oh, Lord. But I am so grateful for him. And in fact, and when May comes, it will be 10 years that we have been sharing in that Bible study. And so we bless God for that. I bless God for his friendship and for the work that is happening here. Well, tonight, I want to encourage someone to know that the best is yet to come. And I'd like to invite you to a passage of scripture that the Lord has just arrested me in, found in the book of John, the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, the first chapter. Gospel of John, the first chapter. Beginning with the 40th verse, John 1:40. God, I bless your name and I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Thank you for the songs of Zion and the prayers of faith. And now we turn to hear from you. I have studied, but I need your strength. Have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but only you can make me able. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see, open mine eyes and illumine me, Spirit divine. Amen. The Gospel of John, the first chapter, beginning with the 40th verse, and you'll find these words. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And when he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Again, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And I want to talk tonight from the subject, what I'm about to be. I want to talk to somebody tonight from the subject, what I'm about to be. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but I want to encourage somebody that I know there may be what you are. But if you hold on and trust God, I want to talk about what you're about to be. I don't know about you, but the one thing that scares me, the one thing that bothers me, the one thing that I hate is being stuck. Come on. I don't know, but I don't like to be stuck anywhere. I don't like the feeling of being stuck physically. I don't like the feeling of being stuck emotionally. I don't like the feeling of being stuck vocationally. I'm afraid of being stuck. That's one thing to sit somewhere and rest for a while, but it's another thing to be stuck. A lot of us get stuck because something happened to us, and we can never forgive, and we can never forget. And then for the rest of your life, you are not informed by that situation. You are defined by that situation, and then you are stuck. But I've got news for somebody that the text seems to suggest that when you allow Christ to speak to your life, he may identify where you are right now, but he can speak prophetically to where he's going to take you. And the truth of the matter is, when you're in Christ, that tomorrow is always the next best thing. Oh, I wish I could say it better. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. In fact, let me try something else. It looks like this, that as long as you are in Christ, the best is yet to come. But also, I want to challenge somebody. It does not matter what you're wrestling with right now. Does not matter what's going on in your life or even what has informed your life. If you will allow Christ in, he can name where you are, but he can show you where he's about to take you. Even before I dig in, is there anybody in here today that can honestly say you are not where you used to be? Is there anybody in here that can say the Lord has brought you from a mighty long way? That's why I'm excited about the text, and I want to talk about what I'm about to be. You know this story. This is the opening of the Gospel of John, and it is the calling of the disciples. This period, this happens after the book of John opens up. It reminds us John doesn't deal with the birth of Jesus, because John is written to teach us that Jesus is God. So John opens up by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then it goes into a called narrative where a few men find Jesus and follow him. One of those persons is Andrew. Andrew comes and he looks at Jesus and asks Jesus, where do you live? Jesus says, come see. Andrew goes to see. And then once he sees him, Andrew says, I know who I need to tell about this. The first thing that Andrew says is, I need to go tell my brother. I need to go help my brother. If this man can do what he did for me, he can do it for my brother. I know my brother got issues. My brother will cuss you out. My brother will cut your ear off. My brother is a piece of work. Let me go get my brother Simon so I can introduce him to this Jesus. So Andrew goes and he gets Simon and says to Simon, we have found the Messiah. We have found the one that is called the Christ, and he brings him. And when he brings Simon to Jesus, Jesus says something. He says, your name is Simon, and you are the son of Jonah. But let me tell you, that's who the world says you are. Let me tell you what you're about to become. You will be called Cephas, or you will be called Peter, which is interpreted stone. Now, if I had time, I would dig in there, because Simon, son of Jonah, that's a shaky character. The implication of Simon, you kind of over here and over here. But when I get done with you, they're not going to call you Simon anymore. They're not going to call you shaky and shady. They're going to call you a rock. They're going to call you somebody that can be depended on. They're going to call you somebody that can be trusted. Simon, I want to talk to you about who you're about to be. That's the good thing about God. Even when the world counts you out, God says, I can still use you. Even when the world thinks you don't amount to anything, God says the best is yet to come. Well, the first thing that comes up in the text is we need to have a spirit of expectation.
My God.
Here it is. When Andrew meets Jesus, he then says, I've got to go get my brother. And the implication is this. My brother needs to experience what I have experienced, because if this happened to me, I know it can happen for him. I believe that every church that stops believing in the transforming power of Jesus Christ ought to close their doors. Whenever we, the people of God, stop believing that Christ can change people, we need to stop having church.
Amen.
Ain't no need in coming in here if you still don't believe in miracles. No need in coming in here if you don't think God can fix your marriage. There's no need in coming in here if you don't believe God can bring your child home. No need in coming in here if you don't believe God can look beyond your faults and see your need. I am a living witness. God can pick you up. God can turn you around. God can start it over. God can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. I'm going to stop right here until it. Is there anybody in here that's ever been in some places you had no business being, done some things you had no business doing, and when you got finished, knew I done messed up this time, and yet God came in, turned your life around, and now you know you don't deserve to have what you have or to be where you are, but God said, that's all right. I know who you are, and I know what I have plans for you. We have to believe in miracles. We've got to believe that God can change. One of my problems with the church, don't get me wrong, I love the church. I love Enon. I love Philadelphia Praise and Worship Center. But I want to challenge us. Because at times it seems as though we've allowed the church to become a club for certain people.
Come on.
And really what it suggests is that we don't believe in God. Because whenever you restrict who can come in your church, you are suggesting that only a certain type of person who already got it together is allowed to come in, because if you're too messed up, then you're going to mess up the pedigree of our church. But I got news for everybody in here. There is no sin in Philadelphia that does not already have a membership number in Enon or Philadelphia Praise and Worship.
Come on.
Oh, y'all don't get mad at me now. You know, it is, we tend to think that if somebody joins our church, like some kind of new sin came in. We got all kind of stuff in the church, but that's where the stuff ought to be. Because that not only do we have all kind of sin in the church, we got all kind of miracles about how I came in one way, but God picked me up. God turned me. Am I talking to anybody? Let me see if I can push it a little more. You do remember when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he says, and Paul argues, he says, now remember this, no fornicators, no liars or adulterers shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But then he blew their mind. He says, and such were some of you.
Yeah.
Oh, you got mad at me. He said, don't get Holy Ghost amnesia. Some of y'all were on this same list, but God picked you up and he turned you around. So even if you can't shout, just give me a finger wave and thank God for where he brought you from. We've got to believe in miracles. But not only do we believe in miracles, the next thing that comes up in the text is that you have to understand first where you are. And be honest about where you are. In other words, if you're going to move on to where you're about to be, you got to be clear and honest about where you are. That's what Jesus says. He says, Simon, son of Jonah. In other words, he was saying, I know who you are. I know what's wrong with you.
Come on.
I know where you got it from. So he says, I know your name, and I know your daddy. And I know that some of the stuff that's in you was in your daddy. And if we will be honest, take your halo off in here. If we will be honest, some of the stuff that informs some of us in here, it ain't just start with you. If you really start to dig in why you do what you do, and you begin to look at your auntie and begin to look at your grandfather, you begin to realize this thing been in the Waller family a long time. I'm going to come close until you holler. The reality is what Jesus was trying to say is, Simon, I know you're going to cuss out some folk, and I know you are mean as a rattlesnake, because you do know who we're talking about. You do know who Peter is. Peter is the one that cuss folk out all the time. Peter is the one that will cut you in a heartbeat. You do remember that Peter is the one in the Garden of Gethsemane when the guards came to get Jesus. Peter pulled out his knife and cut off Malchus's ear. Now I want to stop right there and let the forensic evidence suggest that this could not be the first time he cut somebody's ear off. You can't be that good the first time to be able to pull out a knife and just cut somebody. That takes too much precision. There's some other ears around Jerusalem somewhere from where Peter has exercised his brokenness. So the implication is, I know who you are. I know why you are. And some of us in here, if we need to get comfortable with at least naming what our brokenness is. See, that's the other problem with the church. We want folk to come and play. We want folk to come in and act like we don't have any problems, act like we don't have any issues. But I got news for you. The reason I shout so much, the reason I climb on furniture when I preach, the reason I jump off of stuff is because I identify with Simon. I understand there's some stuff in me. There's some stuff in me that was in my daddy. There's some stuff in me that was in my granddaddy. But touch your neighbor, say, here comes the shout. Don't you understand? Every now and then God will pick somebody out of the family line and says, this is the one that's going to kill it in the family line. I got news for you, Satan. You may have got my granddaddy, and you may have got my daddy, you may have got my mama, but it's going to stop right here. You will not have my children. You will not get my grandchildren, because I'm going to kill it in the name of Jesus. In other words, it may have been in my family, but it's getting out right here. It's going to stop right here in the name of Jesus. But that means you got to get comfortable with naming it. So I'm at an age right now where I can't play Christian. I can't play religious folk. I can't do folk who want to come to church and act like they don't have any issues and act like there's nothing going on, because the truth of the matter is, until you can name it, you can't claim your victory. Until you can own it, you can't rise above it. But do I have anybody in here that will admit you may not be what you're going to be, but you are not what you used to be, because God is raising you up? So we've got to believe in miracles.
Amen.
We've got to own who we are.
Yeah.
But then you have to identify with where you're going.
Come on.
Notice what he says. You shall be called Cephas.
Well,
now that Cephas also is interpreted, which means rock, but it means Peter. But notice what he does. He does. He says, now I'm going to call you what you are not yet. I'm going to call you what you have not yet become. But if you stick with me, I'm going to walk you into what I'm already calling you.
Oh, if I were a better preacher, you'd be throwing something at me right now. He says, listen, I know what's wrong with you, but let me tell you what I'm going to start calling you. Now, I know if when I start calling you it, you won't be it yet. But if you stick with me, I'm going to let you grow into the clothes that I'm putting on you. Let me see if I can make this thing plain. See, I know all of y'all got money, so you're not going to even identify with what I'm talking about here. But there was a time when your mother would buy some jeans for you, and she got the jeans just a little bit too big. I mean, not to the point that you look like you're wearing your older brother's clothes, but because she expected you to grow. And she wanted to get her money out of those Levi's. She bought them a little bit too big. And then she put a hem in them. And then as you grew, she popped that hem out. And then if she bought, and then after a while, if you ironed them a few times, you see the line about just how much. Am I talking to anybody in here? You had grown because of how many times the hem had to be flipped out. Oh, if I was a better preacher, you'd be throwing something. All Jesus did was give Peter some big jeans and said, stick with me. Every now and then I'm going to let these jeans out because you are growing in to what I want. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm growing into it. I'm growing in. I'm becoming more like Christ every day. I still got some issues, but I'm better than I was yesterday. And tomorrow, I'm going to be better than I am today. And as a matter of fact, has anybody ever had this experience? Somebody said something to you this year, and the only thing you could think was, it's a good thing. You didn't say what you said to me this year. It's a good thing you ain't say it 3 years ago. Because 3 years ago, you would have gotten a different response. But since the Lord has been working in my life, I'm now able to bless you even if you curse me. I'm now able to forgive you because the Lord has brought me. So he says, you shall be called Cephas. In other words, I'm starting to call you what you're not until you become what I say you are. So sometimes you got to start acting like you are, even till you get there. And so I know I've still got some stuff, but I'm beginning to speak over my life. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. The world says I need to give up, but the word says I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The world says I am the son of somebody that wasn't no good, but the word says I am a child of God, and it does not yet appear what I shall be. The word says I need to sit down somewhere, but the word says it does not yet appear what God is going to do in my life. I'm going to speak over my life. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. In the name of Jesus, I have the victory. I will walk in my high places. I will overcome. I'm about to walk into my blessing. Well, preacher, that sounds good to me, but how are you going to line that up with Scripture?
Go ahead.
I'm so glad you asked, because you do know who we're talking about here.
Yeah.
You do know we're talking about Peter.
Yeah.
We meet him, and his name is Simon.
Well.
But you do know we're talking about Peter.
Come on.
We're talking about the Peter who has his own book in the New Testament. We are talking about Peter, who in his book has the audacity to say, be ye holy, for I am holy. How in the world, Peter, are you going to be one to tell somebody to be holy? And he says in his book, let your conversation be holy. But ain't you the cussing folk out disciple? He says, but watch my life. You do remember that when he met Jesus, he will cuss you out in a minute. But he kept walking with him. And you do remember that after the day of Pentecost, he preached and 3,000 folk came to Christ. Wasn't a cuss word in the sermon. Kept walking with him. But he still had a racism problem. Because you still remember that Peter only believed that Jews could be saved. So then Paul came into his life. And then after Paul came into his life, he had an experience with Cornelius. And then after that, he realized that not just Jews could be saved. So he went from being a cussing fisherman who liked to fight to being an evangelist who believed in the international implications of the gospel. That's because he kept on walking with God. He went from being a cussing fisherman to being somebody who could say, follow me as I follow Christ and be holy, for I am holy. In other words, God brought him from a mighty long way. Now, I'm sure somebody would say, Peter, how dare you tell somebody to be holy? I remember what you used to be. But that's the whole point of this thing. Every now and then, God will take somebody who's been in some places and then bring them out so that they can be a billboard for the goodness and grace of God. So I've got news for you tonight that if you're somewhere that you're not proud of right now, I dare you to trust God because you're about to become an heir of salvation. If you made mistakes in your life, don't worry about your mistakes because God is about to take you to the next level. Do I have any next level people up in here tonight? Is there anybody that's made some mistakes, but God has cleaned up your record? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm about to walk into my blessing. I'm about to walk into my anointing. I'm about to walk into the new thing that God has for me. In God, all right. In the all right, say yes. I'm trying to leave y'all alone, but I'm about to become something. I'm about to give him praise. I'm about to give him glory. I'm about to give him honor. I'm about to praise his name. Say yes. I'm about what I'm about to be. The text is tailored to teach us. It doesn't matter where you start. It's where you end up in him. Doesn't matter what mistakes you've made. It's what you're ready to give to him. And I know I'm talking to some people tonight who may have come in thinking that you're stuck. But the text declares that if you want to, he can take you to your next place. As the pastor comes and as we stand, there may be somebody tonight who says, you know what, I'm stuck, but I'm ready to walk into my new place. As a matter of fact, this is not simply a call to salvation. You may already be saved, but feeling stuck in an area of your life. As we play just a slight song until we're all gathered, or whoever is going to be gathered at the altar. If I'm talking to you, if you're feeling stuck, I want to invite you to come as we come to the altar. We want to begin to pray. Come on, sis. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.